We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the NOQ report, the NOQ report. I am your host, JD Rucker. I am not joined by my lovely, brilliant, talented, and extraordinarily patriotic co-host and wife, Tammy. Instead, I am joined by my handsome, brilliant, talented, and also patriotic partner at Freedom First Network, Jeff Dornick. Hi, and this is usually where I say hi, Tammy. And she says, hi, Tammy. So could you duplicate that for us?
Hi, Tammy. Hi.
Okay, close enough. So yeah, as those who were watching the pre-show know, we're talking about Georgia and specifically what happened, what was released in Georgia, a bombshell video of, voter fraud. It was clear, unambiguous voter fraud. It's one of those things. The first thing that came to mind as I'm watching this was a paraphrase of a line by Joe Biden earlier during the election. And that paraphrasing would be, if you can watch this video and if you still aren't sure whether or not there was voter fraud, then you ain't smart. There was voter fraud. This was, it's boom, right there in front of us. I'm going to play a couple of the videos, but before I do, what are your initial thoughts on this?
To me, setting this video up, for me looking at this when I was watching this, and especially hearing the explanation, couple this with the affidavits, I'm like, how do you argue this? We'll get into this afterwards, but I believe it was one of the senators or one of the legislatures was still trying to argue it there in the session. And I was pretty shocked by that. So I'm sure we'll dive into that too.
I think that was Senator Parent, if I recall. And it was pretty funny. She was the lone Democrat that showed up. They invited all the Democrats. She was the lone one that showed up, as far as I can recall. And it was really one of those situations where it's like, you know, okay, so what evidence do you have? Well, we've got this video. Okay. Yeah. But so what evidence do you have? This video.
No, but it was literally, so we have this video evidence that's coupled with the sworn affidavits sworn under, you know, threat of perjury. And then she's like, well, but the Secretary of State denied it. It's like, well, because they were probably in on it. Gosh, guys.
Well, and like she said, they hadn't seen this video. Okay. They just got this video last night. So Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, they allegedly hadn't seen this video yet. I think they may have. Let's go ahead and play clip one.
So according to the witnesses, the Republican observers, there is a lady who has blonde braids who comes out to announce, we're going to stop counting. Everyone go home. And in fact, we see that. What happens is everyone clears out, including the Republican observers and the press, but four people stay behind and continue counting and tabulating well into the night from that point, which is going to be about 10:25 when they all clear out, or 10:30. And they will continue counting unobserved, unsupervised, not in public view, as your statute requires, until about 1 in the morning. The reason we know this is because when our Republican observers were forced to leave, they went to the Central Tabulation Center. And they got news word from a news crew that, in fact, counting had continued. They have information that not everybody left according to plan, and some people stayed behind. So this shocked them. So they returned back to State Farm Arena at about 1 o'clock in the morning, where they confirmed that, in fact, people had just left State Farm Arena in contravention of what they had been told by the supervisors who are running this operation.
So let's break it down. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version for the audience. Essentially, what she's saying is that around 2:20, 2:40, something like that, the officials came in and said, hey, guys, and this is at State Farm Arena, where, you know, there's water pipes allegedly breaking and aliens landing and dragons burning down, you know, whatever. So around 10:20, they say, okay, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Everybody go home. GOP observers, press. You guys just go home. We're just going to, we'll pick it up in the morning. Okay. Go ahead. Go on. Go. So they were watching, and you see in the video, there's these four people that are sitting there, you know, two people oddly in yellow sitting there, just kind of like literally doing nothing. Just, and then they look over. And as soon as everybody is out of the building, out of the room, they grab boxes of ballots that were previously not seen before. These boxes that were under their tables. What are ballots, boxes of ballots doing under their tables? And they started counting again. And they did this for approximately 2 hours. Now, in 2 hours, so these machines are able to tabulate approximately 3,000 per hour. There were four people tabulating. It went on for a little bit over 2 hours from what they can tell based upon the video. That comes to, you know, quick math, what, 24,000 votes. Georgia, the alleged current margin for Joe Biden is around 12,500. Jeff, what did you make of that video thus far? Because we got more. We got more.
Well, you know, again, like you were saying, it was literally like they're just sitting around. They're being nonchalant. They're just like, oh, yeah, we're just here. You know, before we leave, we're just going to take a quick break, because we're literally stuffing all these ballots. I mean, it's tiring work. I mean, I don't have the energy to get up. I need to sit down and relax. So you guys, you GOP, you know, observers, just go ahead. I'll follow you out. And then they go, and then they're like, okay, quick, bring the box. Let's go. Let's stuff. And what was funny is, like, you're watching the video. You could almost see they start to get this pep in their step. They're moving quicker. They're moving around. They're like, okay, guys, we got 2 hours. Let's do this thing. But it's go time. Exactly. But what I thought was really interesting too was, you know, everybody always says that the affidavits aren't evidence. And this is the talking point coming out of the left. But what was interesting was that the video footage directly confirmed every single thing that were in the affidavits, including down to the time, how many people were involved, and everything. And well, I thought that was the fascinating thing, was that literally they're like, well, at about 10:30, they pushed us out. Okay, cool. We see that happen in the video. About 1 o'clock in the morning, we come back in. Oh, that is right there in the video. Like, it's all confirmed there.
Absolutely. Tiffany in chat from Periscope says, fellow American patriots are better at the news coverage than mainstream media. She is absolutely correct. I don't know about better. We're just honest. They're just not. Okay. They have an incentive to not be.
I would say that being honest is better.
Well, yeah. Okay. Maybe we're not as skilled. We don't have as large of a budget behind us.
This is all hologram behind me. So,
and I'm actually about 40 pounds lighter than I look. Sorry. So I'm waiting for somebody to come on here and call me Tater like Brian Stelter. Okay, so we're going. You brought up affidavits. It's a perfect segue into the next video. Before we do that, I want to show you my new cup. Have you seen this cup yet?
Nice. Wait. Well, not besides just what you showed me right before we came on.
I do have this new cup. This new cup is great. It's American. Okay. Make sure it's not made in China. Okay. Very good. My wife bought it for me, so I assume that it wouldn't be. But anyway, it's not the cup itself, it's what's in the cup that's important. This cup is loaded with Founders Blend Coffee, which I purchased through freedomfirstcoffee.com. You can go to freedomfirstshop.com. We got books for sale. Jeff's got a book. We got books, but coffee is what I really want to push. Coffee. Use promo code NOQ if you like me better. If you like Jeff better, use promo code Jeff, and we'll see who you, the fans, vote for as the best dark-haired host on Freedom First Network. NOQ, that's the promo code, 10% off. Okay, so, that really is good coffee.
By the way, I hear that
we lost 20 viewers during that promo. I hate doing promos. Sorry, keep going.
But I hear that the coffee actually tastes like freedom. Now, can you confirm that since you just took a sip?
I feel freer already.
There you go.
Smells like America. Okay, so you mentioned affidavits. There is one affidavit that wasn't confirmed by the video we just saw. There's an affidavit that claimed that the witnesses saw somebody rolling in, you know, a large roller suitcase, which they suspected was full of ballots. Did you see that affidavit?
That's the one. I did not see that one.
Okay, so that one was not confirmed by the video we just saw, but I wanted to show you guys one more video real quick. Here we go.
at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to roll this back and show it to you. There you go. So now they're going to start pulling these ballots out from under this table. This table, the black one, was placed there by the lady with the blonde braids at about 8:22 a.m. in the morning. So she put that table there. So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table. Yeah, upper right hand, you see the gentleman in the red. So he just pulled one out. So what are these ballots doing there, separate from all the other ballots? And why are they only counting them whenever the place is cleared out with no witnesses? Is the question. So these machines can process about 3,000 ballots an hour. You have multiple machines there, and they're there for 2 hours. So you do the math. How many ballots went through those machines in those 2 hours when there was no one there to supervise, to be present, consistent with your statutes and rules, to supervise the tabulation? We believe that could easily be, and probably is certainly, beyond the margin of victory in this race.
Beyond the margin of victory in this race. Well, beyond this. Guys, I want to be clear. This is one voting area, one voting station. That these cameras weren't placed there by the election committees. They weren't placed there by the government. These cameras are part of State Farm Arena. This is part of their internal security. They were subpoenaed, and that's why they were only given access last night. They finally got the access that they needed. What about places that don't have their own security cameras? The state's not doing anything. Brad Raffensperger is not doing anything. Okay. Brian Kemp is not doing anything. Jeff, what do you think?
I mean, you know, at a certain point, you're looking at this and you're like, what was the entire leadership of Georgia in on this? At least the main people that have control, because, you know, like you're saying, the Secretary of State is denying that there's any validity to this. It's like, well, you see what's happening on the video and they're like, what? But that's not actually what's happening here. Like, we categorically deny everything that you're seeing happening right in front of you in here. Like, you know, they didn't actually pull up votes from underneath the table behind a curtain. Like, you're just imagining that is what I feel like what's happening right now. Like, we're being gaslit. And I think that what was really interesting too, is what we were talking about with the one Democrat senator that was in there, we're watching the video footage and she's like, yeah, but the Secretary of State denied this. This has already been debunked. And you're like, but the video footage, it's right there in front of you. And this is my concern is, How was the mainstream media going to respond in the sense of the everyday American? They're not watching conservative news. They're not watching OWN. They're not watching Breitbart. They're not watching whatever it might be. What are they going to think? Are they even going to see this? And maybe we'll get to that later, and we'll kind of keep diving into this. But that's my biggest concern with this is we're seeing this. Here's the evidence. They're asking for evidence. We've got the evidence. It's right here. But what good is the evidence if nobody does anything and nobody reports on it?
Well, and that's the key. So that's two different questions. And we'll take the second question first. If nobody reports on it, number one, that's up to us. Okay. We do know the mainstream media, Fox News, isn't going to cover it. CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, none of them are going to cover it. It's not going to be post talked about in the New York Times. And if it's even mentioned in the Washington Post, it'll be on digital page 9. Okay, it's going to get zero coverage, and you're going to hear debunkings, and Twitter's going to put their little flag on there that says, you know, the concept of election fraud is disputed or whatever.
You know, well, by the way, on that note, I've got a tweet. Did you see Trump's tweet on this?
I did not.
Okay, so this is interesting. So, and I'm actually showing JD something he hasn't caught, which is like a shocker because I'm usually the one where JD's like, "Have you heard about this?" And I'm like, "No, tell me." Okay, so Trump posted a tweet. He said, "Wow, blockbuster testimony taking place right now in Georgia. Ballot stuffing by Dems when Republicans were forced to leave the large. This alone leads to an easy win of the state." Now, that was a pretty factual tweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Twitter flags it and says, "This claim about election fraud is disputed." We're like, We just saw the video footage and Twitter is still throwing the flags up on there.
Absolutely. And to reclaim my reputation, I did actually read that one. I thought maybe there was something something new. If I recall, that was that's almost 2 hours ago. My gosh, I thought for sure he must be bringing something up that I hadn't seen in the last 90 seconds or so. Anyway, so Dave J. Crawford, this is a continuation onto part two because, yeah, mainstream media, big tech, they're going to suppress this. It is up to us as patriots, as citizen journalists, as Twitter users, YouTube users, Facebook. We're going on to Rumble and Dave Rubin's Locals a lot more, and we're using Parler and, you know, everywhere you can talk to people about it. It is up to us because we can't rely on media to do it. But to go back to the first part, you know, something done about it. Dave J. Crawford from Facebook mentions, I hope Trump puts one big lawsuit and it goes to the Supreme Court. So, you know, let's talk about what can and should be done. Okay. There are currently essentially three angles. Okay. Three angles that they can take. And when they're not mutually exclusive, they can and should take all three angles, at least two of them. So angle number one is what we're seeing a lot from the Trump campaign themselves. They're going to Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, back to Georgia, Pennsylvania. They're going everywhere to speak to state legislators that are controlled by Republicans and basically implore them to take advantage of Section 2, Article 2, Section 1.2 of the Constitution, which basically puts the power of the presidential election in the hands of state legislators. They're the ones that pick the electors. Now, I'm pretty sure every single state has put it into their own constitution and their own laws that the state legislators are supposed to abide by the votes of the people. But here's the thing, and this is why you keep hearing the phrase reclaim your constitutional duty. You hear that from Jenna Ellis a lot. You hear it from Rudy Giuliani a lot. What they're saying is you guys have the constitutional power to supersede anything. All you have to do is, you know, do certain things in certain states. And for example, Georgia, they would have to, Governor Kemp would have to call a special session of the legislature, and they would have to pass legislation that says that we are going to select the electors based upon our understanding of the election based in, you know, through, you know, this election is fraudulent. It's very clearly, it has been hacked, so to speak. And we believe that the assumed results are not the correct results. So we are reclaiming our power under the U.S. Constitution to select the electors, and we're going to select electors for Donald Trump. That's what Giuliani and Ellis are doing. But then behind the scenes, they're also still working on currently three cases that are working their way through the court system up to the Supreme Court. You also have Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. You have, the Amistad group up in Wisconsin. You have various groups across the nation that are working their lawsuits up. So, you know, number one, you go after the state legislators. Number two, you go after the Supreme Court, hoping that the five honest originalist judges, justices on the Supreme Court will rule in your favor, and they can rule. There's a lot of different things they can do. So all that was to set up the answer to Dave's question or comment. You know, I hope Trump puts one big lawsuit and it goes to the Supreme Court. Technically speaking, it would be multiple lawsuits. If they could consolidate the lawsuits, that could be good, but it could also be bad. Our goal here, yeah, there's different levels of even the goals. Number one goal would be to reverse, to demonstrate so much voter fraud that even the people, even the complicit Democrats are saying, yeah, okay, fine, we got caught. You know, we need to set this right. And you know, it's a long shot. I couldn't imagine this happening, but it is possible and would be ideal because at that point, then the electors can be selected. The votes can be fixed and the electors can be selected and President Trump wins. Option number two is that, and this is the most likely scenario, in my opinion, that a combination of legislatures, and the Supreme Court invalidate enough electoral votes that neither Joe Biden nor President Trump get to 270, in which case it goes to the House of Representatives. From there, the House of Representatives decides, and people are like, oh no, that's bad, because Nancy Pelosi, you know, the Democrats have a majority, and Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House. When it comes to, constitutionally speaking, when it comes to selecting the president electing the president basically through the House of Representatives, each state gets one vote. And there are more Republican delegations of states than there are Democrats. It's 26-23 and then a tie in Pennsylvania currently. So in other words, in that scenario, President Trump would win. I don't like that scenario. It's a constitutional crisis. A lot of complaining, and most importantly, the cities will burn, streets will burn. There will be so much rioting, it will make everything that happened in Kenosha, Minneapolis, and across this nation look like child's play. It'll look like kindergarten romp compared to the mass chaos that will ensue and the need for likely martial law and for the National Guard to get involved. I don't want to see that, but if that's what happens, then that's what happens. Option three, we can talk about the electors. That's something to discuss later. And that's the long shot of long shots. That's the one that, you know, basically getting electors to vote their conscience, so to speak, in states where they're allowed to without being prosecuted or to be willing to be prosecuted if they choose to be. I'm rambling. Jeff?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and I'm glad that you broke down the legality of, you know, the different options and that sort of thing. But I think also from my perspective, I'm looking at it from, okay, so that's the strategy for the Giulianis, the Sidney Powells, the Trumps, and all that kind of stuff. But for us, it's really going to come down to information and figuring out how to jump over those algorithmic walls that Twitter and social media puts up to get this kind of information over to our progressive lefty friends. Because a lot of them, they're just misguided. They're brainwashed because they're not actually getting this information. So then the question is, how do we get them this information? Because as I'm talking to people that are progressive and they're lefty, and I intentionally try to do that, I'm talking to them. They have no clue about any of this. I guarantee you, come tomorrow, they're going to have no clue that there's actual evidence of voter fraud happening in Georgia, that there's actual video footage of them committing voter fraud right in front of the camera. And I think that that's where it's incumbent upon us. We've got to figure out how to get this information in front of as many American eyeballs as we possibly can. That's what's so vitally important right now. Now we've got the evidence, because here's the thing: mainstream media, big tech, all the Democrats, even some Republicans, there's no evidence of voter fraud that would actually change the election. There's no evidence. Like, what are you talking about? Here's the video footage right here. Just this one video could potentially prove that Donald Trump legitimately won the state of Georgia. Just this one video. If you invalidate all those votes that were counted without any observers in the middle of the night, after they lied and said that they had to shut down because of a water pipe breaking when it was just a toilet overflowing 4 hours earlier, I think it was. Like, there's so many things. Just invalidating those votes alone, Trump wins Georgia. Now imagine all the different precincts. Imagine what happened in other states. Imagine, let's go take a look at Michigan and those 140,000 votes that were dropped in the middle of the night. What were the circumstances around that? There's lots of things that we can do. And this is just one aspect of the evidence. But to me, this is so clear cut that even an honest Democrat and an honest person that was against Trump was like, yeah, that looks bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. So two quick points. To Be Fit For You, great name, from coming from Periscope, says 70% of voters said they wouldn't have voted for Biden if they knew the stuff that he'd done and said that MSM hid, specifically regarding the scandal surrounding China and Hunter Biden. And it's true. One out of six Democrats who voted for Biden said, I didn't even hear about that, and I probably would have changed my vote. And that's based upon this is our fault. Okay, us as patriots, us as conservatives, us as citizen media who knew that there was not going to be coverage of this. You know, not everybody watches Tucker Carlson, and even if they did, they sometimes wouldn't even get the whole truth there. Nobody's watching OAN or Newsmax, not enough people at this stage. So it is really up to us to share. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. But then there's the other challenge. How do we deal with the people who project, you know, the people that are, you know, mostly on the left, vast majority on the left, who they can say, look, they can take this evidence that we've just presented, that was presented earlier today. They can say, okay, so yes, the election official did ask observers to leave, and that is against the law. If they were going to continue counting votes, then they broke the law. After they left, they continued to count upwards over 24,000 votes, again, against the law. It's state law and county mandate that observers must be present for every single vote that is counted. And here is unambiguous video evidence. You show this video to people like Randy in chat. Randy says it's like watching cult members that got removed from their dear leader. These, you're not going to be able to reach Randy. Okay. You could, Joe Biden could come up to him, stare him in the eyes and say, Randy, I cheated. President Trump is your president. And people like Randy will be like, no, say it isn't so. It can't be real. It can't be real. No, what's real is that this very old, straight, white, extremely rich guy who has demonstrated both racism and sexual misconduct throughout his 47-year career in Washington, that he is the great savior of the Democratic Party. And he's the one that outperformed Barack Obama and every other presidential candidate in the history of the United States. Of course, he only did this in a handful of counties, which happened to be counties where rampant voter fraud is suspected. If you look at the other cities, he underperformed compared to Hillary Clinton in the vast majority of cities across the nation. If the state wasn't contested, if the state wasn't a swing state, he sucked bad. But in the swing states where they're sending voters home, where they're sending observers home as they continue on video to count from boxes and suitcases full of previously unseen ballots. I get lost sometimes, but yes, that's the long answer to the short question, which you would ask, which is, how do we reach people like Randy? We can't. We just have to get the truth out to the and hope that a majority of Americans are simply misinformed, simply ignorant, not, you know, cult members, not throwing out ad hominem attacks for no reason, and who can actually look at evidence and intelligently come to the conclusion that, yeah, this is obvious. There was voter fraud. I mean, duh. It's, you know, I can't believe that anybody would think there wasn't. It's that obvious, okay? Anyway, not to rip on people like Randy, but don't be a Randy.
Yeah, please don't be a Randy. But also too, you know, your example of Joe Biden looking you in the camera and saying, you know, we did voter fraud. I mean,
he did
that.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh yes, for those who don't recall, Joe Biden stared into, I forgot about that. That's great. He stared in the camera and said, we have put together the greatest, most diverse, most inclusive voter fraud team of all time. Or something to that effect. Yes. And that was a terrible Joe Biden impersonation. I sounded more like Herman Munster. I like this one. Sorry, we got to throw out this chat from Periscope user William Sackman. Arrest the woman with the yellow braids. This is that was how she was described. This is the ringleader at the State Farm Arena who instructed everybody to. She coordinated and instructed all the observers and press to leave. She kept everybody, all the counters sitting there. She coordinated getting the suitcases and boxes full of fraudulent ballots out. Yes, she is the one who is. At least she's the middle manager, so to speak. Now, if they do, and William Barr, I know that you often watch this show. If you're watching right now, you know, it won't redeem you in my eyes if you were to do this, but it would be a step in the right direction. If you were to find yellow braided woman, as William calls her, and arrest her and question her and get her to flip on whoever paid her or instructed her or threatened her and made her do what she did, the voter fraud that she engaged in, then that's a start. But again, none of that's important because none of that's important yet because we're talking about the criminality aspect of this, which at this point, I don't care. If people get arrested, awesome. If they don't, so be it. But we have to correct this election first through civil suits.
Yeah, we'll deal with the criminal side after the election. Like to me that's secondary right now. Let's deal with the election first and then we can deal with the prosecutions and the arrests and locking everybody up. Because they do deserve to be locked up. Like that's the reality. They deserve to be convicted criminals. Like this is like felony behavior going on right here. But at the same time, strategically, we have to focus on the right things first. And right now, it's just getting this election right.
It is. It really is. I do want to switch gears. Stay in Georgia, but switch gears to to something that Jeff and I actually have disagreed on. Okay. We both disagree about dairy. I love dairy, as you can tell. Jeff does not drink dairy, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Lynn Wood, who yesterday, Lynn Wood came out and he had his rally with Sidney Powell and Vernon Jones and CJ Pearson and somebody else. They had this MAGA rally. It was really good. It was supposed to be a press conference. It wasn't a press conference. It was a rally, but they did answer questions from the people, which is even more important than answering questions from the fake news media. So I did like that. But there was a part there during the discussion right after Vernon Jones spoke. Vernon Jones said, we got to elect Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. And Lynn Wood comes on and said, I'm going to have to disagree, you know, and I'm not going to even attempt to do his amazing Southern drawl. But
hey, JD. Mm-hmm. You did a pretty good impersonation on the phone the other day.
Did I really?
I'm just saying.
I don't want to risk it. It's too insulting, you know, because he sounds like he's a Southern Baptist preacher when he's up there talking about the president making America great again. Anyway, so Lynn Wood.
I thought we were watching an online church service.
Yes, we were. Anyway, so Lynn Wood basically said, I'm going to disagree. Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue have not earned your votes. They are not fighting voter fraud. They're not fighting for President Trump. They're not fighting against what's happened in this election. And they have not done anything to push Brian Kemp or Brad Raffensperger to make it right before the next election. Why are we going to participate in an election that we know the previous election, the election on November 3rd, was fraudulent, rife with voter fraud, and nothing has changed since then? Why aren't Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue here right now, here being with Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell? Why aren't they here right now? Why aren't they calling for things to be fixed, for a special legislative session to be called to order, for voter fraud to be stopped? And he even went so far as to say the only way that we can prevent that is to go to good old-fashioned paper ballots. Push the election to where it's completely down ballot. You have to get the entire election has to be accurate, and it should be moved from January 5th to January 21st. And most importantly, he said they should be calling for the state legislature to declare the vote on November 3rd fraudulent and to select their own electors for President Trump. He said, unless they do that, they have not earned your vote. Now, Breitbart came out with a hit piece that said, look, oh my gosh, he's supported Democrats. He's voted Democrat. He donated to Barack Obama. He donated to all these people. You know, is he a plant? And I wrote a piece last night saying he definitely is not, that he's right. That if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue want to win, they would say, okay, yeah, he's right. President Trump's right. He won. What are we doing? Why aren't we supporting our president? Why aren't we doing our job as senators and defending the Constitution of the United States? We have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. It is currently under attack, and we're out there saying, oh my gosh, look at what Chuck Schumer's doing. Look at what AOC's doing. Mentioning voter fraud zero times since the election. Mentioning that President Trump was robbed zero times in their state, in their backyard. That's my stance. Jeff, have I changed your mind yet?
Well, the thing is that I feel like for me, overall, I agree with you, and I agree with your sentiment, and I believe with your perspective on this. For me, just looking at the Lynn Wood situation, I'm looking at it maybe more pragmatically, I guess, as opposed to straight down the line, you know, straight up conservative kind of a thing. Like, I'm looking at this like, We're at 50-48 right now. Well, technically, because Mitt Romney is technically a Democrat, 49-49 right now in the Senate. I don't like the fact that they're not coming out dealing with this voter fraud. I'm pissed off at the majority of the GOP for not coming out and dealing with voter fraud. And to me, I'm looking at this like, okay, so we've got 4 years. We got to get rid of these rhinos. We got to get rid of these guys that are not willing to deal with this issue, because I feel like this is a coup from the Democrats and the Republicans that are trying to get Trump out. And I think that that's a major, major issue. But from a strategically pragmatic standpoint, I'm looking at this as if we allow the Democrats to own the House, the Senate, and potentially the White House, the problem that we have is that to me, America's done. And so I'm looking at this like, okay, I get what Lynn Wood is saying. Clearly, they haven't earned your vote, but they kind of have in comparison with what's going to be the repercussions if the Democrats get in. So whether or not he's directly calling for people not to vote in the election, which I did see a tweet from him saying, he's like, no, I want people to vote. But I think that we have to be careful that at the same time, we're not discouraging voting for these guys. We're not fully endorsing them. We're not saying, hey, they're the best guys ever. But at the same time, we need them in compared to the Democrats, or else it's do or die time for the country. So that's just my take on it.
So, and I agree. I just think from a strategy perspective. So here's what I think could happen or would happen. Let's say that Linwood comes out tomorrow and says, you know what? This is too important. I know that they're not perfect, or does whatever speech he wants to say and says, look, we need everybody to get out there and vote for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. And if he gets everybody to do this tomorrow, okay, and everybody jumps on board and President Trump is supporting them and everything else, I would still put it at that scenario. I would put it at, and they continue to campaign as they're doing, which, you know, oh, fight socialism, fight Chuck Schumer, fight AOC. You know, if they do that and things continue in the status quo, then I would say they have about somewhere between a 10 and 15% chance of winning. They will lose, is in my opinion. I very little doubt they would lose. If they were to actually do as Lynn Wood had called for them to do, to say, our president is being robbed, our Constitution is under attack, our governor and our secretary of state are apparently in cahoots with the people who are running the election, and if we don't do anything about this, then we're going to lose the state and the nation. If they were to come out like that, as Wood has called for them to do, then they have, I would say, at least a 50% chance, if not more, of winning. It's just, to me, basically what I'm getting at is, you know, the more pragmatic approach is to get aggressive and, you know, call out the voter fraud that we believe is happening. Why wouldn't they? It's their state. Why are they so silent? Why are they pretending like the biggest risk right now is Chuck Schumer, when really the biggest risk is a coup attempt in our nation? And you were right. You and I were talking earlier, you know, other than potentially a little bit Ted Cruz, there are no senators and there are very few congressmen who are actually fighting. And that should disappoint every Republican out there, because this is their oath. Their oath is to the Constitution. None of them are appropriately defending the Constitution, because it's one of two things. Either they don't see the voter fraud, in which case they're stupid and disqualified from being representing us, or two, they see it and they're not making it their top and only priority today. As lawmakers to defend the Constitution, it's not about, oh, look at this legislation about H-1B-1 visas and, oh, we got to do. No, it's like, guys, we're under attack. They are trying to fundamentally destroy, not just change, they're trying to destroy this nation, okay? Don't give me this whole, oh, let's just go focus on something else, you know? They need to grow. I was going to use a Hinton word. They need to get aggressive and do their jobs. And I think that's what Linwood is calling for. I'm going to check some chats real quick if you want to
see. I feel like what this is really doing is this is setting up the future for us as conservatives. And I think that when we're seeing the fact that none of our elected officials, or almost none of our elected officials, are willing to do anything about election fraud, they're not taking a stand. And this is my frustration when it comes to dealing with the election. It's my frustration in dealing with the social media censorship and big tech censorship. It's my frustration with the majority of these issues. They go in and they talk a big game. They'll go up and challenge Jack Dorsey to his face, and they've got a viral video that they share, and it gets a million views, right? Or here, when people are like, where's all the GOP guys coming out and defending Trump? And then for like 2 days, they came out and they went all over Fox News and Newsmax and all that kind of stuff. And then where have they been for the last 3 weeks? They're nowhere to be seen. At a certain point, I think we're going to have to take it on ourselves as conservatives of, okay, we're not tolerating this anymore. Yes, we've got to get over the hump this election right here, right now. We've got to make sure that we win, to me, at any legal cost possible, right?
Legal. But
yes, that's the key, legal. And that's what's always left out on the Democrat side. But looking at 2022 and looking at 2024, this is where we begin to look at how do we purify and clean out and root out the deep state and the establishment guys that are within the Republican Party. Because these guys, to me, they're showing the true colors. When we were dealing with big tech censorship and Lindsey Graham gets up there and he's like, so Jack Dorsey, what do you think about the addictiveness of social media? I'm like, dude, you have no idea what you're dealing with. You are distracting. You are not dealing with the issue. And I feel like the same thing is happening now with this election when it comes to these Republican guys. They're deflecting. They're focusing on other things. And at a certain point, if you're not willing to deal with the greatest national security threat in our country right here, right now, if you're not willing to do that, to me, we got to primary them and get them out next time. Like, no more tolerating this.
Next time and every time.
Absolutely.
We've got about, I'd say, 10%. We have two or three decent members in the Senate, and maybe 10% of the GOP in the House is good. Otherwise, they're all bad. I would say maybe four governors that are decent. I don't know. There are certain good state legislators, but it's always tough because they don't get as much scrutiny. So you can't really jump on them until they get higher office. You know, we get some really bad trolls here sometimes, but sometimes we get some pretty good ones. So Alex Bravo, I've been reading his chats there. You know, he's obviously a Biden supporter, but they're good. Okay. They're clever. I like this guy. He's really trying to get us riled up. He says, this election was stolen. It says I voted, but how could I vote when I'm an illegal alien? That's awesome. you got to love clever trolls.
Bravo, Alex. Bravo.
Yeah, bravo, Alex. There we go. We're clever too. See, let's see. This one comes through. Oh, this is through Facebook. People need to realize we are literally the last free country on the planet. Constitution is the law of the land. We need to keep fighting, all of us. And just because you're not a senator, not a governor, not a president, doesn't mean that you don't have an oath to defend the Constitution and to defend this nation. We all do. It behooves us to do so. And when there is this much rampant voter fraud, none of us are in good shape, because you should, let me put it this way. Let's say I was a Democrat. Let's say that I was, you know, I thought, man, I'm so glad that Joe Biden won. If I looked at everything that's happening here and I see how the people are reacting, my first response would be, you know, Mr. President-elect Biden, we need to promote a full investigation. We need to look at all of this, because we think that you won legally and lawfully, but there's tens of millions of Americans who do not. So we need to call for all of this information to be looked at and either approved or debunked. Because if this is allowed to continue, you're going to have a presidency in which the most heavily armed Americans hate you. And I'm not making a threat, okay? I'm just saying that that's the argument that I would make if I were a radical leftist supporting Joe Biden. Is that if you want to unify the country, then call for this voter fraud to be investigated. Look into Dominion. Keep in mind, you know who's looking into Dominion and voter fraud and ESNS as recently as March of 2020? That's right. It was the Democrats, Amy Klobuchar, so many senators and congresspeople who were saying, guys, Dominion is super easy to hack. We have witnesses that say this. What are they doing to protect it? Nothing. This is terrible. And then all of a sudden, conspicuously, right around the time when Joe Biden was winning South Carolina, all of a sudden, they went silent. They said nothing. They stopped pressing Dominion. For 4 years, they were hammering. Okay, there was a report on CNN yesterday. In 2006, I reported it yesterday. But in 2006, a CNN report about Smartmatic in Venezuela. They came to the conclusion that, and I want to paint a picture for you, Jeff, and to the audience, see if this sounds familiar. This is a CNN report from 2006, which they have scrubbed. It's no longer on their website. It's no longer in their archives. It's no longer on social media. And if you try to post on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, they have it taken down. What don't they want you to know? It's this. In 2006, they did an expose on Smartmatic, which Smartmatic bought Sequoia, which was then sold to Dominion, including parts from software and hardware from Smartmatic. But that's a whole other discussion. In 2006, during the Venezuela elections, Hugo Chavez, who was the president at the time, went into election night way behind. They called for voting to be stopped. I'm sorry, for counting to be stopped. And overnight, miraculously, through these Smartmatic systems, he was able to pull out a pretty stupid win. Okay, we say, wow, you know, Joe Biden and their team, they cheated so much. This was so obvious. He reversed it by 38%. He flipped 38% of the votes overnight and came out victorious using the same software that is currently being used in Georgia, Pennsylvania, 47 counties in Michigan, as well as Arizona, Nevada.
Well, and also going on that, my good friend Bobby Lopez on his podcast, The Big Brown Gadfly, just the other day, he was interviewing a guy from the Philippines that I believe was a journalist and was reporting on Smartmatic's rigged election in the Philippines. So it's two separate countries where literally at one point the more celebrity candidate was winning, the establishment candidate was losing. Oh, wow, there's a power outage. Power goes out for an hour or two, and then magically the establishment candidate is up by 500,000 votes. It's the same thing, same technology, same software, now in three different countries verified when it comes to this thing. At a certain point, there's a pattern here. Now the question is, what's the pattern, guys? What's the pattern?
What is the common thread here? PDJ in Periscope, I've seen this a lot, and it's actually an attempt to debunk voter fraud, but it's obviously, you know, those who have not read the affidavits or seen the evidence who just go around saying, where's the evidence? Where's the voter fraud? Oh, no, I don't want to see it. But where is it? People like PD3 ask the question, so much fraud, how did Republicans have a good election night? This is actually proof of voter fraud. So let's look at Michigan, for example. In Michigan, the late night ballots, which there were approximately 140,000 that were brought in, that allegedly only had votes for Biden and no down ballot votes. There was a Senate race, a very contentious Senate race with John James in Michigan. His race was not affected. He lost, by the way, barely, but his race was not affected by this. Biden, on the other hand, was. Why? Because through this Dominion, through the emergency ballots they had to bring in that only voted for one candidate, Joe Biden was propelled to a victory. Now, the reason that we know this, based upon the data, is that you look at a similar place, South Carolina, which wasn't really under any, you know, Lindsey Graham, there was a little bit of a concern that he might lose, but for the most part, Democrats weren't really focused on it. They put a lot of money into the Senate campaign, but they had no illusions that they would win South Carolina with Joe Biden. So, again, two different states, approximately the same size, two different, both of them have Senate races. In Michigan, where this ballot dump did happen, again, acknowledged by even the Democrats in the state, this ballot dump that did happen yielded about 149,000 votes for Joe Biden that did not yield a down ballot vote. In other words, these were ballots that were only for Joe Biden, 149,000 of them. In South Carolina, where there was no need to try to steal that, the number total for both Trump and Biden, the total number of votes that voted for president but did not vote for Senate was 1,300. Over 100 times more randomly, oh, you know what? I'm just here to vote for Biden. Biden is you know, I totally believe that this old, white, straight, rich, racist sex offender is the great hope for the Democratic Party and for the nation. So, you know, we're going to rally together, get one of those honking rallies together, and we're going to vote just for him. Nothing else. Nobody else. Nearly 150,000. But in a similar state like South Carolina, 1,300. So when people like PD ask, "Is so much voter fraud, how do Republicans have a good election night?" Because Republicans had, including President Trump, had a tremendously good election night. It really was. That's why you have, as we saw in the video earlier, that's why you have places like Michigan, where they kick out on video, illegally, press and observers. They whip out on video, illegally, boxes and suitcases full of ballots, and they count them on video, illegally. We won't be able to reach people like PDJ.
By the way, PD, thank you for proving our point. I really appreciate it.
You're so much nicer than me. You really are good cop. I am bad cop. I'm here, PD, you're stupid. And you're like, PD, thank you so much.
There was no sarcasm in my voice at all. None at all.
There was no anger in mine. Dave J. Crawford says also, and from Facebook also, why would the servers be in foreign countries? Oh, don't even get me started. So here's it's funny because, okay. So talking about pragmatism earlier, Jeff was, when I look at evidence, one of the things that I try to push for is the stuff that takes up. If I'm going to be talking to a Democrat or an independent or anybody else about voter fraud, I want to give them something that they can digest and comprehend in their minds. Not that they're stupid, but that there's no question marks. I want to give them something that they can hear in two sentences and be like, huh, yeah, I need to look into that. Okay. What we saw today is videos. Get people to watch those videos and watch the testimony. Okay. Watch the testimony from, her name is Jackie Pick. She's an attorney. She wasn't acting as an attorney for Trump. She was an attorney who happened to be an observer. Jackie Pick. You can watch the full video of her testimony over on noqreport.com. Watch that video, show people that video, let people watch this video, let them hear her testimony. Okay. And it takes one or two sentences. Guys, they got it on video. It's clear voter fraud. Observers were told to leave because the vote would be picked up in the morning. As soon as they left, they pull out suitcases full of ballots that hadn't been seen before. You got to check out the video. That's all you got to say. So David Crawford's right. Yes, we know that there were servers, that our votes were counted in other countries, which should, and I believe is, illegal. Once you start going down that road, we're losing the pragmatism. We're losing an audience who just simply won't even look into that. I'm not saying don't talk about it. I'm saying we've got low-hanging fruit here. We got a smoking gun. Show people the smoking gun. And if they still act like, you know, some of the trolls that are in there right now, if they still act like that, then they were lost. Okay? Okay, wipe the dust off your souls. The soles are your shoes. And move on. Find somebody else. Who's this? Dr. JKO, DM, Healthcare Management Leadership. You have the, wow, I just clicked on it. I didn't even think, this is, well, thank you very much, doctor. You have the best analysis of the election I've heard so far. Thanks. You are very welcome. PDJ has to chime in. So you can tell the doctor, you know, very articulate, you have the best analysis of the election I've heard so far. Whereas PDJ says, laugh out loud, didn't say I believe it. Just didn't make sense. Oh, sense to me if what you said is very true. It's true, very suspicious. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people like PD can be reached. Maybe we just converted somebody to at least look into it. And we're not asking people to believe us, okay? If you hear Jeff or me say anything at all, don't believe it. Research it. Don't listen to my description of the video. Watch the video. Don't listen to what Jeff says about what the affidavits say. Read the affidavits. That's all we want. We're not trying to convince you that there was voter fraud. We're saying we've looked at the evidence and there was voter fraud. If you can look at the evidence and decide there was not voter fraud, that's your perspective. We're not asking you to believe us or Tucker Carlson or anybody on Fox News or OAN or CNN or Ben Shapiro or Lynn Wood or anybody. What we're asking you to do patriots, fellow Americans, is to think. That's all. Just think. Just use your brains. Do the research. You have literally more information at your fingertips, in your pocket most of the time, than any of us old folks had 20 years ago access to, period. And you can access it in seconds. Do that. Educate yourselves on this stuff before you come to.
Well, and I think springboarding off of that too, I think something that we're going to have to get people to start thinking through is our entire lives, it's been reinforced to us to quote unquote, trust the experts. Now, the experts could be anybody and everybody, and there's always experts on both sides, but supposedly you're supposed to trust them and they're supposed to clear everything up, even though experts are constantly contradicting each other and all that kind of stuff. But I think the key is you've got to figure out how to think for yourself, how to think critically. Probably 8 months ago, I completely turned off television, completely turned off the news. I don't watch the news anymore. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch MSNBC. What I tell everybody is I don't want to see what somebody says about what Trump did. I don't want to see what somebody says, like JD was saying, about the affidavits. I want to read them myself. I want to go to the source. So I watch the press conferences themselves. I don't watch the clips later at night on the late night shows talking about it. I go directly to the source. I spent, what was it, a couple hours reading through Sidney Powell's Georgia lawsuit.
104 pages.
Exactly. I read every single page. I don't want to see what, like, as great as Tucker Carlson is, I don't want to see what Tucker Carlson has to say about it. I want to see what Sidney Powell actually wrote. And that's the kind of mentality that we have to have. And this is where I think for the majority of Americans, a lot of times they're looking at this and they're like, so-and-so said, as if that's going to debunk the truth. And you're like, no, but go to the source. I don't care what the Secretary of State said. I don't care what the DOJ said. I don't care what the governor said. I don't care. What do the facts say? That's what we have to be thinking about. That's what a logical, rational human being would do. So guys, let's be a logical, rational human being and look at the facts. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. People are asking where they can find the video. We've isolated, I hope it's still there. We've isolated the testimony by Jackie Pick over at NOQReport.com. Should be this top story still, if I recall. You can see it there. That's the best way. You can see it. I mean, go to YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you watch your videos. Go check that out, because that's where, again, and we've isolated that. The entire testimony is worth watching, but we're talking about hours and hours. If you want to see the 15-minute version, just go to Knock, and that we've isolated it there. Jeff, I think that we're good. Not for any other reason, but because I am hungry. I do need to get me some more Freedom First Coffee. Founders Blend at freedomfirstcoffee.com. And so I'm probably going to use NOQ as the promo code. You know, if you guys want to use that, then you're helping me. If you like Jeff better, sorry, Jeff's over on this side. If you like Jeff better, you can use promo code JEFF. And that will get you the same 10% discount off of Freedom First Coffee. Priced at $17.76, but you can actually get even a bigger discount by selecting auto ship. Jeff, you want to take us home?
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'll say is, like, what I was saying at the very beginning, before we played the intro video, normally, as conservatives, we've been talking about voter fraud and mail-in ballots and all this kind of stuff. We go. It's easy to go into these conspiracy theories. Like, well, look at all these hundreds of thousands of votes that were changed. And then you start going into, there's these secret guys in masks and conspiracy theories and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes it's just as simple as clearing a room and stuffing ballots. Like, no masks. No, they didn't shut off the lights. They didn't, like, sneak in through the back door with a secret USB drive with snipers guarding them and protecting them the entire, like, literally, it's a handful of people in a room, told people to leave, people complied, they stayed, twiddled their thumbs, and they're like, okay, room's cleared, stuff ballots. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. And the thing is that, did they not think that there was video? Like, normally, like, if you're in a room, like, and you're gonna be sneaking around and, like, cheating, wouldn't you, like, look up and, like, is there a camera in here, like, somewhere, anywhere? No, there's four of them watching you the entire time, and you were still brazen enough to cheat and we catch the whole thing on camera. Sometimes criminals are just that stupid.
Or desperate. Absolutely. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.